Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining me. Representative Michelle Raywinkle Basilinda will be with us. Jim Stevenson talking about the Wakulla Springs efforts to preserve and protect. And an aspiring entrepreneur, William McCluskey, has a new program called Proper Channel. Stay with me. All of this coming up.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. And by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
The holidays are coming. Well, in a few months. And that's why now is the time to shower up with a beautiful custom shower enclosure from Widen Glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. They've designed and installed tub and shower enclosures for Tallahassee homeowners for over 70 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures provide style and luxury at an affordable price. With the holidays coming, that means family, and that means now is the time to shower up. With style. Call Widen Glass today, 222-5781. Or chat online with one of their service professionals at widenglass.com. W-H-I-D-D-O-N, Widen, the best name in glass since 1945. Call 222-5781.
Going green just got easier with high-performance window film from Truck and Car Concepts.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty, owner of Truck and Car Concepts. We have over 18 years' experience. Our sun control films eliminate 79% of the heat gains and 99.9% of the UV rays to prevent fading.
Use less energy and save money with professionally installed high-performance window film from Truck and Car Concepts. One block east of Weems Road on Mahan Drive, across from Kraft Nissan. Call 656-8800.
So here we are on a fantastic, cool, weathered Saturday in Tallahassee, wherever you may be. We are having some remarkably enjoyable, cooler, drier weather, and it makes it much more enjoyable to do all the fun things going on around town with the outdoors. Cooperating. Jim Stevenson's going to talk a little bit about the outdoors related to Wakulla Springs. For those of you who don't know Jim, let me tell you, this is a longtime veteran of the Florida State Parks Administration. He was the chief naturalist of the Florida State Parks for 20 years. During a 38-year term of service to our lovely state through the Department of Environmental Protection, Jim retired in 2003, but he is still on the trail, literally the overland trail, helping people understand how it is that the aquifer and Wakulla Springs are all part of one very massive ecosystem. And what we have been doing that has proposed a threat, basically, to the life of the Springs Basin and what we can do to correct that. He's helped coordinate the Wakulla Spring Basin and the Itchituckney Springs Basin working groups for 18 years, and he serves on the boards of the Wakulla Springs Alliance and the Florida Springs Institute. His dedication is just stalwart and you know, just an amazing individual with tremendous amount of understanding and respect for all concerned. I mean, as a naturalist, he certainly appreciates those things that we must do in order to preserve and protect Wakulla Springs and all that it offers us. At the same time, he recognizes, I think, in my conversations with him, the fact that this is not just a natural wonder, that it at the same time serves a huge role in our culture, in our economy, and he'll talk about some of those things. But that for him just means that we have to be even more mindful of how we are managing our own behavior, particularly the use of fertilizers, for one thing. The nitrates, then, that pose a threat to not only the springs, but the aquifer at large, what we are doing to ourselves in the process. So he'll have some very clear advice for us and bring us up to date on what's being done. And so in keeping with this show, I guess we've sort of created a theme today around the role of government in our lives and what we need to do in a regulatory way to better protect and preserve, advance, and develop those resources that are available to us, both those provided in the natural world and those that we've created in the world about us. And so we've got William McCluskey that's going to help us navigate that with this program he's developed called Proper Channel. And I won't spill too much of the information for you, but let me say that if you've ever been frustrated in dealing with a state bureau or any kind of governmental agency, or maybe a private corporation where you're the recipient of services, and you know this very large, very complex organization just seems to have a hard time in communicating the simplicity of what needs to be done. Maybe it's your cable service. Maybe it's renewing your driver's license. Well, this program, Proper Channel, is a remarkable solution that is really quite simple, but is built on the idea that collectively we can contribute to a clear layout of steps involved with whatever that process may be, whatever those tasks are that we need to engage in order to achieve our desired end. So I've got to renew my driver's license. What are the steps involved with that that otherwise you find a lot of times unable to get from those people who are supposed to be able to give you those answers? Bill will talk about that and talk about how he came up with the idea and what he's doing to get that further promoted among us so we can all benefit. That's a great contribution right here in Tallahassee. William McCluskey, part of that whole thing going on over there at Domi. We've had Barbara Westgate's been on the show with her Point Catcher. And, of course, we know Simon Anderson quite well for his contributions as a futurist. And these folks all kind of hang together, and they benefit from one another in their creative resource, benefiting because they provide ideas and solutions and even further that innovation. Or the innovative process, we'll say, by having this collective environment. Domi Station is a remarkable place, and it's come about because of the changes in the way we think of startup business particularly and the way we think of Tallahassee. And so when you think that we are about the business of emerging in our own region of the world, emerging on a national scale, there's a whole lot going on at that level with people like William McCluskey who are helping us better express who we are, what we are, what we contribute, what we bring to the conversation, we'll say. As you've heard me say, us trying to find our spot on the wall. And I think that when we bring people together in these conversations, we begin to discover more of who we are and how we individually can all participate in that conversation. So maybe you have an idea that you'd like to foster. You would like to be involved in creating a solution, solving a problem, offering direction to whatever enterprise seems to be important to you. Well, that's why we're here, because this show is all about Tallahassee and what it is this week that Tallahassee's talking about. Representative Michelle Ray Winkle-Vasalinda will help us in that same effort, that conversation, by bringing to us news of the day and what things she finds most pertinent. And I talked with her a little bit earlier before the show. We're going to talk especially about the whole concern with Ebola, what it may mean to locals, what it may mean to our own Florida-based systems, health service providers, and immigration officials and how we can better manage then the question of who is allowed in, who are those people that are permitted access to the United States coming from foreign nations where it is known that the Ebola virus has been in action. And, you know, you've got people that are infected, populations of people infected. Well, you know, there's the known knowns and the known unknowns. Well, this is a known known. This is where we know exactly where these people have been. We know exactly whether or not the Ebola virus has been active, and people are infected. And so for her, she sees that as a very simple sort of immediate step, and we'll talk further about that with her. Appreciate you joining me in the show here today. We've got a great lineup and some great sponsors, and I want to remind you that if you're looking for flowers or gifts, be sure to check out acountryroseflorist.com.
The holidays are coming. Well, in a few months, and that's why now is the time to shower up with a beautiful custom shower enclosure from Witten Glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. They've designed and installed tub and shower enclosures for Tallahassee homeowners for over 70 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures provide style and luxury at an affordable price. With the holidays coming, that means family, and that means now is the time to shower up. With style. Call Witten Glass today, 222-5781, or chat online with one of their service professionals at wittenglass.com. W-H-I-D-D-O-N, Witten. The best name in glass since 1945. Call 222-5781.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning. We're glad you're here. We have an opportunity to learn a little bit further about our neighbors to the south here in Wakulla County. And let me tell you that Jim Stevenson is with us. He has served as Chief Naturalist of Florida State Parks for 20 years, during which time he developed the educational and the land management programs for the state park system. He was chairman of the Florida Springs Task Force that developed a protection strategy for Florida Springs, and he was the director of the governor's Florida Springs Protection Initiative that implemented Springs Protection Projects. Jim retired in 2003. After 38 years with the Department of Environmental Protection, and he is our guest this morning. Good morning, Mr. Stevenson.
Good morning, Brian.
You're looking fine for such a young fellow. Now you're what, 52 years old or something?
Well, it goes beyond that.
It does? Okay, well, we won't go further than that. But after 38 years of service to our community and to the state of Florida, let me say thank you for your service to us. We're quick to thank those who are in military service oftentimes or in the business of law enforcement, but I think it's equally important that we recognize those, especially people who have made it their life's endeavor. And 38 years, man, how did you survive that? That's the first question.
Well, I'm not sure of that either. But it was a great career. I was in the right time, at the right place at the right time, and really enjoyed my work with the department.
And with that stretch of time, then you worked through several administrations, we'll say, right? The governorship changed hands several times.
Several times.
And did that impact you particularly when you know, one man came in, another man went out? I mean, how did that affect your position?
At my level, it had little effect. Yeah. I was not that high up on the chain. But as time passed, restrictions became more restrictive.
I see.
And so we were less able to do some things that we may have been able to do in the past.
How so?
Well, just communications. Today, it's very hard for the average employee, state employee, to talk to the press.
I see.
But back in my day, it was easy to talk to radio or television or a news reporter.
And now that you're retired, you can do whatever you want.
I can say much as I please. Right?
Well, that's why you're here. Because we are terribly uninformed, I think, when it comes to the value, the contribution, the role, we'll say, very unimpassionedly, that Wakulla Springs system plays in our community, in our ecosphere. It impacts us, it seems to me, in so many different ways, culturally and biologically. When you look at that as an issue, you look at and you've devoted your life's work to this topic, and here now you are still at work looking at the Wakulla Springs system. Why is it so important to you?
When I first took my family to Wakulla Springs, when the state moved me up here to be chief naturalist, I told them at that time this should be a state park because it's just such an outstanding natural resource.
And when was that?
Now, that was 69 when Ed Ball still owned it.
I see.
And so over time, after he died and some years later, the state of Florida bought it in 1986, and it became a state park. But it's just a very special place. I was married there on a tour boat, and it's always been a special place for me.
Do you make your home in the area as well?
No, I live up here in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
But and folks often ask, well, if you're going to save the spring, why don't you go down to Wakulla County where it's at? But actually saving a spring begins up here on the hill.
Tell us about that.
Well, as you know, everything flows downhill. And so we're
You clever person, you. What a segue.
But the Capitol is at 200 feet in elevation, and Wakulla Springs is at 5 feet. Yeah. So you can see that's for Florida. That's quite a drop.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when you drop over the Cody Scarp, which is our ancient shoreline, which is now along Paul Russell Road and Orange Avenue, your ears may pop from the drop in elevation.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But Wakulla Springs has been special for a long time. There have been 8 movies that have been filmed there in
part. Some of the Tarzan, right?
Yeah, Creature from the Black Lagoon and Airport 77.
All those famous classics that we love so much as kids, right? Yeah.
And so we've had Tarzan, Boy and Jane there, as well as some famous movie actors.
Now, did you ever garner for yourself some kind of cameo or guest shot in any of these films? Or
no, we've done some local documentaries, and so I've been involved in those. But Wakulla Springs contributes $22 million to the local economy. So it's a goose that lays the golden egg, and we're trying to keep the goose alive.
Well, and there you go. So when we think of Wakulla Springs, perhaps oftentimes we think of it as a vacation spot or a fun afternoon on a weekend. You look at it, I would suspect, as a natural resource that is unduplicated in our area. Is that fair?
Oh, yes, that's right. I refer to it as Florida's Capitol Springs since it's only 15 miles from the Capitol. Mm. But it's also a tourist destination. I led a tour this past week and had 2 Indonesian ladies on the tour. And a Swedish fellow was on a previous tour. And after the tour, I was walking back towards the lodge, and there was a couple having lunch on the bench, and I started talking to them, and they were from Germany.
Yes.
So it's essentially an international tourist destination.
Does it have that much fame elsewhere? I mean, do people come from other parts of the world and say, hey, one of our stops is going to be Wakulla Springs, do you think?
That's right. That's why we have so many people from not only out of state but out of the country that come there.
Wow.
But it's one of the largest springs in the world. I mean, not just in Florida, but in the world.
Mm.
And its cave system is just unbelievable. Mm. It's one of the largest cave systems in the world.
That's amazing. Talking with Jim Stevenson here, our guest this morning, who served the state of Florida for many, many years, recognized for his contribution as a chief naturalist of Florida's state parks, for 20 of those years, and you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks. We're going to ask Jim to stay with us through the break. You stay right where you are, and let me give you this moment to remember that we are here because of our fine sponsors, like the good folks at Tommy T's in Midtown, where you can get your oil changed in a jiffy. Tommy T's Mighty Lube, there in Midtown on Thomasville Road. Stay with me.
So, how's your car running?
Oh, it's great.
Well, that's good. And where'd you go?
SS Performance Group over on the west side of town. They are the real pros.
I thought SS Performance Group was for like...
engine modification.
Right, and...
muscle cars. Yeah, right. And oil changes, brakes, and tune-ups. Everything for every car. So I figure go pro with the best for everything I need, right?
Yeah, so they can work on my SUV.
Yep. Go pro.
SS Performance Group at 431 Capital Circle Southwest. Go online or call 575-0259.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back talking with Jim Stevenson, who in these days is responsible for something called Saving the Wakulla Spring Overland Tour. Or I guess it's just the Wakulla Overland Tour that you're trying to keep alive. Is that the point?
Well, we're trying to save the spring.
Yeah.
And that's the theme, is showing people what we need to do to protect the spring.
And it seems then with your lifelong experience with this whole environment, you would offer a substantial amount of information and maybe a lot of information that would otherwise be unknown to the general public. I mean, we've already talked about how this whole natural wonder contributes economically and culturally, but it has a very important role in how the aquifer is, I guess, managed. I'm uninformed, so you've got to help me out here. Why is it important to us, let's say, biologically or in terms of our ecosphere?
Okay, in addition to it being one of the largest springs in the world, it's been a fantastic wildlife area for decades. People come there to photograph and observe wildlife, lots of alligators and anhingas and lemkins and things like that. So if you enjoy birds or other wildlife, that was the place to go.
I see.
And, you know, when we have friends and relatives come to visit us from out of state, that's where we take them. We take them to the Wakulla Springs for a boat ride or walk the nature trails or to swim in that 72-degree water or eat in the lodge. So it offers the people of Tallahassee a real service. It is essentially without cost. The revenue coming into the park entrance station is $2.2 million a year. And since it's been a state park, 5 million people have visited.
Wow.
So it's just a remarkable place, and we're so fortunate here in Tallahassee to have it just 20, 30 minutes away.
And you're saying that there is a threat at hand. What is that threat?
Well, there are two threats. To save a spring, we've got to reduce pumping, and we've got to reduce nitrates. Now, reducing pumping can be as simple as turn off a faucet and stop it from running. That would be the easy
where
thing.
Where, in fact, we are pumping water out of
exactly
this yeah. basin.
What we call a basin or an aquifer is what supplies the water to Wakulla Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the biggest. It's 1,300 square miles and reaches up into lower Georgia. And the water is all moving south, all moving towards Wakulla Springs from that 1,300 square miles. We get 63 inches of rain a year. Part of that evaporates. Part of it's taken up by plant life. But part of it ends up in the aquifer, recharging the aquifer, and flowing to the spring.
I would say anybody who has lived in Tallahassee or the surrounding area for any length of time who might be fortunate enough to have a well on their property will note the quality of the water. It's substantial. In fact, my in-laws used to come up from South Florida and take back with them a 5-gallon bottles of our water, because we happen to have a well, and have never had to filter that water. I mean, and we've had it tested, of course, at the beginning. We've been out there 25 years. We've been living in the same house and drinking that water. And it's remarkable.
We're very fortunate, but we've got to become more aware and more watchful because nitrates are getting into the water.
Yeah, now tell us about that part. Yeah.
Okay, it's nitrate is a nutrient, mm-hmm. and it comes from human waste, mm-hmm. livestock waste, mm-hmm. fertilizers from our lawns, fertilizer on crops, mm-hmm. and all of that seeps down into the aquifer and then flows to the spring.
Okay.
So 640 tons of nitrates come from that spring every year.
Hmm.
And being a nutrient, it's fertilizing the plant life in the spring and changing the ecology. Hmm. So whereas we used to have native eelgrass, it's been replaced by the exotic hydrilla that came to us from Sri Lanka and also algae. So the ecology has changed, and when you change the habitat or the plant life, the animals have to change as well.
You've changed the food chain.
Now, the shocker is, and we've just come realize this recently, is the fish are gone. You've heard of Henry that used to jump the log when the boat driver called him. Well, Henry's gone. Right. And we do still have mullet coming up from the coast, but other than that, the fish are gone. And without fish, you can't have the anhingas, and you can't have the alligators, so they're in decline. The waters are so dark that there will never, ever be another film made at Wakulla Springs unless we can find a way to clear up the water clarity.
So that doesn't sound at all very promising. You're saying that because of our overuse of the water, first of all, and the pumping, and then the pollution, effectively, of the water and really the aquasphere, we're on a very slippery slope here that doesn't get any better.
Right, and the more people we attract to our community, the more toilets that will flush and the more lawns that will be fertilized. So I suggest to people that want to know what they can do is to reduce pumping. And that means the water that we use at home, and also reduce the nitrates, which means cut back drastically on fertilizers that we're putting on our lawns and golf courses and pastures.
Mm.
Now, in our particular area, agriculture is not a problem for us. Now, there's very little agriculture in this area, whereas for other springs around the state, agriculture is the primary concern.
Mm-hmm.
So our issue is urban.
Mm-hmm.
It's those of us living up here on top of the hill. And
you said everything flows downhill.
Yeah, it all flows downhill. So whatever we spread on the landscape in time will flow from the end of the pipe, which is the spring.
And you're saying, too, that our own waste system is a contributing factor here. So are we not, I mean, you go down there along, the airport thoroughfare, and you see this massive waste treatment plant. I mean, are we not doing the job that needs to be done to remove this from the ecology of our environment? Or?
To a point. The city of Tallahassee operates that facility and has done a fantastic job in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this point, it has the lowest nitrates of any wastewater treatment plant that I know of in Florida.
Okay. Good news.
It is. It's.
So then where are the other abusers?
The others are those of us that have septic tanks, and I'm one of them. And what we have to ensure of is that we have that tank pumped periodically, say 3 to 5 years.
Right.
And that keeps it functioning properly.
And
if you don't pump it and it gets clogged up, then you got the mess in your bathtub or in the lawn.
Not to mention,
So some folks resist that. They think, they don't want to spend the money. But it cost me $225 to have my tank pumped.
Hmm.
Only my wife and I are using it, and I knew it didn't need it, but if I'm going to talk the talk, I got to walk the walk.
So that in and of itself reduces the amount of nitrate contribution, you think?
No, that's a good question. The septic tank was created to have a place to put our waste, number one, and number two, to kill harmful bacteria to protect public health.
Right.
It was not designed to control nitrates.
Okay.
So there are other septic tanks coming online that we could replace our old-fashioned septic tank with. Huh. There's places where the sewer line is right out in the street, but people haven't hooked up to it.
Oh, I see.
Because of the cost.
I see.
So we need to hook up to sewer lines when those are available.
Okay.
So there are a lot of things that we can do. And the simplest of all, and it'll save you money, is stop fertilizing your lawn.
Mm.
I've had my lawn for 22 years and have never once fertilized it or irrigated it.
Yeah.
And right now it's as green as it can be.
Yeah. Okay, so there are some practical measures that individually we can do, at least consider doing, and replacing a septic tank might be a cost that somebody might not be able to afford at the moment, but they can certainly consider the use of fertilizers there, and that in and of itself may be their portion, their part in contributing to the solution. Folks, we're talking with Jim Stevenson. He is a naturalist and an authority on the whole business of the Wakulla Springs environment. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. But I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
Now we're talking Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are back talking with Jim Stevenson, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Thanks for staying with us, talking about the Wakulla Springs environment, Wakulla Spring Overland Tours that are designed to help us better understand what it is that's at stake. When we talk about Wakulla Springs, it's not just a vacation spot. It's not just a significant source of revenue for our local community and for the state. It is not only a natural resource that is being impacted by the way we manage our waste and the use of fertilizers that ultimately all end up in the spring. It is an attractive destination. It's a kind of, I guess you'd say, a sort of part of our signature, isn't it? That Tallahassee and the Wakulla Springs environment are all sort of in that same connection with people, and you've talked about people that come from around the world and make a point of visiting Wakulla Springs. In the years gone by, that's been recognized, and I can think of a few rather unfortunate circumstances when people have been about down in the caves and have found themselves lost and couldn't get back out, kind of stuff, or maybe somebody who got off the beaten path, we'll say, you're out there swimming among the gators, ill-advised, but they did it anyway, you know, and sure enough, they were gator snacks, you know. And, so, I mean, those kinds of stories, unfortunately, may be very few, but they tend to stay in the minds of people, I think. Do you agree?
Yes, they do. And I was a cave diver for some time until I became very allergic to algae, so I can't get in the water anymore. But that was too many handfuls of algae to show people during canoe trips, and it finally caught up with me.
I see.
Yes, indeed, those stories do stick with us.
Well, and the nefarious aspects of that are there. But what I hear you saying is, folks, you got to look at the big picture.
Right.
We have this marvelous resource at our disposal, but we've turned it into a disposer or a disposal in that we have ignored the fact that the way we live our lives has an impact on this resource. Those around the community in Wakulla particularly have been concerned about some of the rules being rewritten that impact the development of Wakulla County. Is that concerning to you?
Yes. I don't believe in watering down common sense rules. Now, from time to time, I come across a rule that I don't like. But if we look at it from a common sense point of view and a site-by-site point of view, indeed, in times we don't need a rule for a particular spot, but in other times we would.
So. Our friend Jack Rudlow was here months ago, and he was pretty hot about the question of how are we managing, right, the development of the county. And they had taken it sort of upstairs. They went to the state and said, hey, guys, you know, you need to articulate for us what's right. What can we do? What can we not do? And pretty much my read of it was the state said, you guys are going to have to work that out among yourselves. You know, we kind of lay the framework out here for you. Is that where it stands today? I know that the commission down there has been divided on, I think, a 4-1 margin as to whether or not these rules should be changed, allowing, let's say, a relaxation of, right, the development of the whole county. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, that's right. Wakulla County Commission has been a leader in protecting Wakulla Spring, but in recent years they've been going the other direction.
I see.
So we are concerned about that. These wetlands are like a sponge. They hold water and feed it out slowly into the aquifer or into the streams. Wakulla County is blessed with something like 6 rivers that lead to the Gulf.
Yeah.
And plus the spring. So they've got some wonderful natural resources.
Yeah.
And they will become more important as time passes with more tourists coming our way.
Yeah.
And so, again, it's the goose that lays the golden egg.
Right.
And if they weaken or kill the goose, and in the long run, they're going to be out.
One of the other folks we've talked to lately has been Bob Ballard, who's involved with TCC's effort to create for its students under the leadership there of Jim Murphy. But his thing was, hey, let's create an environment for our students in the county where they can be trained to as park rangers.
Sure.
You endorse that whole idea?
Yeah, I do, except for, again, the devil's in the details.
Uh-huh.
I believe we ought to train these folks. As far as the need, I don't know that's there. Because Lake City Community College had its own park ranger school, and they closed it in 2008 because there weren't enough students.
Not enough people interested.
And with us losing those types of jobs, natural resource jobs, I don't know where they're going to get the job once they're trained.
So you're saying it sounds great on paper, but you got to look at whether there in fact is demand in the marketplace.
And two, the what really got the public upset was that TCC wanted to take over 2,000 acres of Wakulla Springs State Park.
I see.
And that's just something you don't do.
You don't think that's advisable?
Absolutely not.
Why?
The state parks of all places should be protected from being from a land grab like that.
I see.
And plus, they wanted to put a modern RV campground on the property.
Yeah.
Well, that property was purchased by the state of Florida with $5 million to protect the water underneath that property, which is flowing to Wakulla Springs. Now, you don't add sewer lines and RV campgrounds on top of that water.
I see.
Because leaks, spills will occur in time.
I see.
So the sole purpose for that land was to protect Wakulla Springs, and we felt that TCC was going in the wrong direction on that.
Hmm. And where is that effort now? It looks like they've withdrawn their plan, at least at this point.
Yeah, Bob said in a news release that he had hit the pause button. So we really don't know, but we will continue to oppose that effort.
I see. So the conversation is ongoing. Have you talked to Jack Rudlow lately?
Not lately.
I know that he's got something, probably 5 or 6 things that he's working. And for those who don't know, the Marine Institute there, and I guess it's in, what am I grabbing for the word? Is it Panacea where he's located?
Yes.
Yeah.
Gulf Specimen.
Gulf Specimen Marine Land. Thank you. And Well, Jim, what a great guest you are. What a wonderful conversation. I know you've got this Overland Tour, the Wakulla Spring Overland Tour going on. And you have some dates that you wanted to refer to there?
Yes, our next scheduled tour, we do them monthly except during the summer, but our next scheduled tour is November 15th, which is a Saturday morning,
all right,
and December 20th, which is also a Saturday morning.
So if we want to contact you, you have a website then?
Yes, it's Palmetto Expeditions.
Palmetto Expeditions.
Right.
And you lead that tour?
Right, I lead it as a volunteer.
Wow.
And we start here on top of the hill and follow the water downhill, connecting the dots.
Very cool.
We see lakes and sinkholes and
very cool
karst window. I mean, all kinds of things.
Folks, we need to do this.
Yeah.
We need to overwhelm Jim with our attendance. Again, the dates are November 15th
and December 20th.
And December 20th. And it's Palmetto Tours.
Oh, to Palmetto Expeditions.
PalmettoExpeditions.com.
.com.
Okay.
Right. Great.
I think we got all that worked out. Jim, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation.
Come back. Keep us informed. We'll have you back again in the near future. Folks, stay with me. Coming up at the top of the hour, ABC News, and we'll be back with more.
This portion of our show is brought to you by The Green Room. Heather Baker and Company. This is an amazing person. And right here in our very own town of Tallahassee, Heather Baker is award-winning, having spent her entire career in hair. And I mean, she really knows how to make you look great for you, not try to make you look like somebody else. And yes, she is officially the hairdresser for Tallahassee Talks. I'm telling you, if I can go in there, guys, listen, stop fooling around with the chop shops around town. Get involved with somebody who really loves this craft. That's what she does, and it's called The Green Room on Lake Ella. They're located at 1425 North Monroe, right there at Lake Ella. You can reach her at 425-5222, or just go to her Facebook page, The Green Room on Lake Ella. It's the best thing you can do for your look this week. So here we are back in the second hour of this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 every week, just for you. I do this just for you. You know that, right? And it's because I think that you are worth it, because you bring to all of us the very special things that only you do and you can do, and in the way that you do them. Yeah, I'm a big believer in us each finding our place in the world and making contribution wherever that may be. I know it sounds a little corny, but in fact, whatever your job is, mom, dad, civic leader, maybe you're a business owner, a corporate president, or maybe you're sitting on a board with some nonprofit group. Maybe you're a teacher or a healthcare provider. Maybe you're a physician. Gosh, maybe you're out there making sure that the potholes in the streets don't destroy us. You're actually out there on the front lines, making sure the gas lines and the sewer lines and the telephone lines and the electric lines are all in place. Seems to me you serve a very important role there, my friend. And it reminds me of Tom Donahue, who many years ago, if you don't know Tom Donahue, is the guy that started Domino's Pizza. Right. Well, I had the chance to meet this fellow, and he said to me the most important person in his company is the person who puts the sauce on the dough. So for all of you dough saucers out there that are really making it happen, and you're in the majority, you're the folks that keep us all warm and lit and or cooled off or provided for in so many different ways. You are the bedrock of all of the infrastructure that we enjoy as daily in our daily lives. And we take for granted, quite honestly, until the lights go out or, you know, the sewers get backed up and, you know, or the grocery shelves aren't stocked the way we want them. And we are a bit petulant, aren't we? We're sort of, I don't know. It's getting to the point where people are so rude in traffic. I don't know where this is all coming from, except maybe the impertinence of the internet, that we just think that everything should happen for us instantly. You know, so if you're at a stoplight and it turns green, you're going to get honked at if you haven't
gone from zero to at least 20 miles an hour in the first 3 seconds. I mean, they just want you to go, kind of rocket through that intersection. I don't get it. I do not get it. But you know what? I'm not going to get all stressed out about that because I got more important things to do, like talk to you folks. And I appreciate the fact that we have such a great lineup of guests here today. Coming up here in the second hour, we got William McCluskey standing by. He'll be with us to talk about proper channel. You really have to stay tuned for this because this is going to solve so many problems for you. It's a simple solution. It's a website that's going to walk you through some of the more mundane things we have to do, like renew a driver's license. But it can also help you through questions like, how do you put on a hazmat suit if you were faced with such things, especially if you're a healthcare worker and you're dealing with somebody who's infected with Ebola? Yeah, that might be a very helpful proper channel flowchart that you'd have at your disposal. And so we're going to learn all about that from William and why he's doing what he's doing and how it's going to help us. So see there, relevance. That's the whole theme today, relevant topics. Hard to find such relevance in the news around this fair town. You know what? It just, there's so much that has happened that's reported that just is sort of, in my view, sort of inconsequential. You know, the Pikes over there, Pi Kappa Alpha, they're under investigation because they had their annual massive beer party. And there's at least one individual apparently who is reported having been sexually assaulted. Yeah. Okay, great. Let's add that to the long list of other such occurrences across a lot of different platforms and playgrounds in this town. I mean, just really, is this okay? So that's in the news, and some other things too. Of course, the governor and his opponent Charlie Crist squared off again for their final gubernatorial debate, reported as heated and personal. Certainly a lot more heat than there was light, again, in my opinion. But I think that of little consequence, because I think most of us know exactly where these two people stand on all of these issues that are of greatest concern, particularly employment, health care, education, right? The management of natural resources. And, you know, those are topics that don't just pop up. I mean, we've been at this for a while now. And for my part, I think that the current administration has gotten us back on track in a lot of ways. And so, you know, it's hard for me to say, well, why that we need to switch now. We seem to be going in the right direction. In terms of lighter topics, have you been to Tally Connection lately? This is a great website. This is provided by the FSU Credit Union, folks. And if you want to know what's going on around town today and tonight and through the weekend, great place to go. For example, we have the historic Monticello Ghost Tours. Yes, and that's going on tonight. Starts at 7:30 out there in the historic town of Monticello. So you want to check that out. Again, all you have to do is go to tallyconnection.com, right? And go to their events calendar, and you're going to see all this stuff. I'm reading to you from that calendar as we speak here. So it's a great source of information for you because you're going to get a good cross-section of different things. Here's the Romeo and Juliet performance at the Fallon Theater at FSU. That's tonight at 8 o'clock. So if you want to see Romeo and Juliet performed over there at FSU, good thing to do. Another FSU item, the FSU High Flying Circus, or Flying High Circus, I guess they're called. FSU Flying High Circus performing tonight. Their FSU Circus Halloween Show. That's at 8 o'clock. That sounds like a lot of fun. Not sure how Halloween and Flying High all fit together. Maybe costumes are involved to some degree, right? We might imagine. let you just go with your own imagination on that. Another ghost tour. This is tonight at 7:30. The Ghost Walking Tours from Andrew's Capital Grill and Bar at 228 South Adams Street. That begins at 7:30, goes for an hour. The annual 2014 Ghost Walking Tour event. tonight. So that's why I make sure that you hear all this stuff. Because look at all this. I mean, just a lot of different activity for you and your family that you can enjoy. Looks like, of course, Brewfest, the annual, is going on. This benefits Sunrise Rotary. Man, if you haven't heard about Brewfest by now, you've been living under a rock. Those guys are out there with all of their advertising and promotion, and a lot of good reason. It's a good event. But if you're not into beer, probably not the best place for you to go. But Brewfest, then, at the Tallahassee Antique Car Museum, and that starts at 5 p.m., goes till 8 o'clock tonight. That's what we got, at least a few things going on. Check it out, tallyconnection.com, one of the sponsors here for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, along with our good friends who consistently keep my vehicle in line, and those are the good guys over there at Tommy T's on Thomasville Road. Man, between Steve and John, they have my car running great. They can do that quick oil change that you're looking for, or they can provide you extended service, brakes and air conditioning, or this time of year, making sure your heater works, right? Check them out. Tommy T's on Thomasville Road in Midtown.
For over 40 years, Marvin McFate has been building houses and helping families build their dreams. He's helped Tallahassee grow, too, by building a company based on three simple ideas: dedication, tradition, and innovation. It's a company dedicated to building homes that'll last for generations with time-tested methods and a clear understanding of how to make homes more efficient with modern innovations. Today, Vanguard North stands as a symbol of the best in home building and home renovation. So, here's to you, Tallahassee, and all the families that Vanguard North has had the privilege to serve. Thanks for letting them share in your dreams. You keep on growing, and they'll be here to help you do it with homes you love to live in today and for all your tomorrows. Vanguard North, home builders and renovators, on the web at vanguardnorth.com. Marvin McFate, he's a bit of a dreamer. He's okay with that.
The best place for conversation, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back, and we are talking with William McCluskey here in our business spotlight. William, what a great thing to have you here on our show. How are you?
I'm doing great, and thank you so much for inviting
me. We're glad to have you.
This is exciting.
Well, it is for us, because in the little bit that we've gotten to know each other, you have created for us what seems to me to be a rather very, very practical, very easily applied solution. Now, folks, if you've ever tried to renew your driver's license, or if you have been fighting with Comcast over some service-related issue, right? Or maybe you've tried to drop a class over at FSU, or you've tried to get your Facebook thing to work, Facebook page. You need help. And yet these institutions, we'll call them loosely speaking, don't seem to always know that very well, and they don't seem to provide us the resource we need to be able to solve some very simple problems, sometimes more complex problems. Well, here comes William McCluskey, who with his team of experts have created something called Proper Channel. William, tell us what Proper Channel is.
Absolutely. Like you said, we're working really hard to keep it simple. We did a lot of research and found out no matter what you want to do, when you really look at the steps themselves, they're pretty simple. You know, fill out a form, show up here, pay this sort of fee. The problem, though, is people a lot of times won't even attempt these things because of fear, anxiety, and confusion. Well, after doing a lot of research to figure out how we can get people through these systems faster, we found out that it wasn't the steps themselves. It was the confusion and the misinformation. Mm. Now, even if it's a simple process, if you're told how to do it the incorrect way, it's going to be impossible because you're not even in the right ballpark.
Yeah.
But the really interesting thing is thousands of people have gone through this and they already know how to do it. You know, if it's getting a building permit, there's a contractor out there who's gotten a building permit every day for the last 10 years. And why can't we ask him to tell us how to get it done. Well, the simple reason is I don't know that builder. But if we build an environment where he can document the process, then I don't need to know him personally, and his information can be passed to millions of people instantly.
Now, here's what's really cool. If you figure out that there's another piece that William didn't know about, you can add that to the process, can't they?
Absolutely. It's a collaborative system. Everything on the site is viewable by everyone and editable by everyone.
Like Wikipedia.
Exactly. Just like Wikipedia, but visual. Because when you're trying to get something done and someone hands you this big, lengthy manual, if they give you a book, you're not going to look. You just get overwhelmed, and it doesn't say start here.
Yeah.
And that's the big difference we have. We can direct you of how to get engaged and how to start right away. But like what you were alluding to, a single person doesn't have the best answer. There's all sorts of research that shows the group knows the best answer.
Yeah.
Because if you have one person who goes through the system, they only have one point of experience. If you have 1,000 people go through the system, then now you have 1,000 pieces of experience, and the best practices rise to the top. So instead of just telling you how to get through these systems and how to handle these organizations, we actually can share the shortcuts. So let's not look at what they want you to do. Let's look at the best way that you can do it.
And you know, folks, we've had in today's show already Jim Stevenson, who was with us in the first hour, who for his many years has worked within state government, particularly in the business of helping us maintain our state parks. And his passion for the last number of years has been the Wakulla Springs State Park. Well, imagine that you've got proper channel at your disposal when it comes to something like how to better fertilize your lawn so that you're not pouring more and more nitrates into the aquifer, which is Jim's warning to us, and thereby effectively polluting Wakulla Springs along with the rest of the aquifer. So proper channel has a very immediate, very practical, functional way of helping us, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And just to your point, one of the real driving missions was to make it immediate.
I see.
So, and that was one of the reasons that really pushed the collaborative side. Because even if you don't get the best solution right away, knowing where to start is a huge benefit.
And where did it start for you personally? What was your seed?
Yeah, there are a lot of things in my life. You know, as you mentioned, I've done a lot of different things. Started the Ultimate Club here in town, started a business before this, applied to graduate schools. And in every single instance, I noticed it was the bureaucracy that slowed me down the most. It was trying to figure out what I needed to do. And this is including calling up the agencies and talking to them directly. You know, what do I need to do to satisfy your requirements?
Right.
And they weren't able to tell me. And it was sort of this just magical moment of, you know, the aha, the eureka. Well, shoot, there's been thousands of people that have already gone through this. Why can't they tell me what to do? Because they figured it out. No matter what the other information out there is, if this guy actually succeeded, then I want to do what he did.
Amazing. So, folks, you see what's going on here. William has created for us this platform whereby this wealth of information that is distributed across the population can all be funneled down to this one very easily understood flowchart. And you're benefiting from that experience that has gone before you to say, this is the way you should navigate that. And if you should discover something that the rest of these folks have not, yes, you can add that to this chart, right?
Absolutely. And the other big benefit is, you know, a lot of these systems are with, you know, government institutions. And in government, we've built in election cycles to make sure we have new people coming in over and over. And with those new people, a lot of times we have new policies. Well, there's usually a lag between the change of the policy and the change of the instructional materials. Everyone has a horror story about, you know, they do all this research, they think they have everything right, and they show up and the person in front of the window says, sorry, that's the wrong form, we changed everything. Well, that one person is now empowered to update. So that was the real thing. As you mentioned, it's one flow chart. when you go to Google, you enter in anything. How do I do this? How do I do that?
You get 60 million different ways to tie your shoes.
And you don't need a million. You need one.
You need one that works.
And it needs to be clear. It needs to be concise. And it needs to be correct. So that's what we're focused on. How do we make sure that this is, you know, actually the right way to get through it? Well, we have to keep on listening to the people who are actively engaged in the process, not the guy who did it 10 years ago.
Yeah. It's called Proper Channel. You'll find it online, properchannel.co.
We can't afford the M yet.
Well, that's all right. Yeah, we'll buy an M one of these days. Properchannel.co. The creator is our good friend and a guest here this morning, William McCluskey, who has graciously agreed to join us. Thank you, William, for your time. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Thanks for what you've done for us. Folks, stay with me right after this. We've got news coming up here at the bottom of the hour, and then Representative Michelle Raywinkle Vasilinda will be with us.
So, how's your car running?
Oh, it's great.
Well, that's good. And where'd you go?
SS Performance Group over on the west side of town. They are the real pros.
I thought SS Performance Group was for like...
engine modification.
Right, and...
muscle cars. Yeah, right. And oil changes, brakes, and tune-ups. Everything for every car. So I figure go pro with the best for everything I need, right?
Yeah, so they can work on my SUV.
Yep. Go pro.
SS Performance Group at 431 Capital Circle Southwest. Go online or call 575-0259.
Whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are on a lovely Saturday with having had such interesting conversation thus far, having talked with Jim Stevenson and our good friend William McCluskey. We're talking in this here show about issues of public concern and how government impacts us at one level or another. And so it seemed quite fitting to this humble radio host that we invite our good friend, Representative Raywinkle Vasilinda, to join us. How are you, Representative Raywinkle Vasilinda? And I get marks for having said that twice.
Absolutely.
In one sentence. Absolutely. Without stumbling.
You did grand. You did very, very well.
Are you doing well?
I'm doing well. How could you not do well on some level on a beautiful morning like
I'm
this?
There you go. This is now we're on the same page.
Indeed.
There's so much we can be grateful for here and abroad. And speaking of abroad, no, I won't go to that old joke. Sorry.
I was thinking there was a joke in there somewhere.
I do have a shred of dignity left, and by golly, I'm working to preserve that. Help me all. But no, we're talking about the America in the world, and like it or not, we are the big dog. We are the ones who get hailed for our accomplishments and just as easily criticized for our failures very quickly. That, to me, seems to be one of the characteristics of leadership, you know, is that when it goes right, we'll thank you. And boy, if it goes wrong, whether it's your fault or not, you're to blame. You're the head coach.
The buck stops here.
The
game, you know,
was lost.
Yeah.
You get fired. So here you are in a position where at that level of leadership for all of us here in District 9, you have applied your time and talents and effort to looking at some of those issues that impact us on a daily basis. Now, you got a lot on your list of concerns, and I know you're involved in a lot of different issues. But the one I really wanted to get after has to do with, again, speaking of going abroad, the influence of Ebola. As it impacts Florida particularly, and here those of us in North Florida, all kinds of back and forth as to, and it's a bit of a blame game, it seems to me at this point, but I want to get your take on this. First of all, are we indeed threatened by Ebola as a population, would you say?
You know, I don't think we're threatened in the same way that nations with less able healthcare systems are threatened. I don't think we're going to have the huge impact, unfortunately, that you've seen in the epidemic nations of Guyana, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. I just don't think that's going to be the case. Mm. However, we do need to make sure that although we're the big dog, we don't want to break a leg. Mm. We don't want to impact our ability to be the big dog, to do what we need to do, and to carry on, to help, and to be compassionate, and do all the things that we are called to do for duty's sake.
And what are those things you think that could impede that or would break our legs in that effort?
I think this idea in some ways that we have to take on the disease into this country after we have a natural barrier of the Atlantic mm-hmm, Ocean, mm-hmm. I think is wrong-headed. I think we can care. We can send money. We can send volunteers. We can send our expertise without having the disease actually be transported over here willy-nilly with casual travelers. So I'm really getting to the idea of this travel restriction controversy that has really been at the heart of what Americans are concerned about, I think, and Floridians and so on. We need to be prepared for Ebola. There is no doubt about it. And frankly, if this is in some ways a dress rehearsal because of issues of bioterrorism, then I'm happy with that. Because we do need to be very careful about that.
So you see that as actually an advantage in as much as we've been tested to this degree.
Yes.
Gratefully, it's been isolated thus
yes.
far, but it certainly has uncovered what even the casual observer would say some mismanagement or at the least miscommunication. I mean, you've got the National Nurses Organization saying, hey, CDC folks and hospital folks, you haven't prepared us for this stuff. And we've
right.
been asking you to do so, and
right.
you didn't do it.
Right. And so if this is a dress rehearsal for bioterrorism events that could occur, then this is a good way to begin that.
I see.
But if this was what I saw that it was as it was going forward was a sense of arrogance that I think the CDC had, Dr. Frieden in particular, a sense of hubris. Then I'm not fond of that, and I also think that thinking that the American people are not smart has concerned me too. Some of the ways that this has been handled has been a little bit concerning.
Well, sure, and at a national level, there have been plenty of folks who have marched up and been highly critical of the president and his. Either in lack of involvement or what seemed to be a lack of attention to the point, and Frieden at the same time, and where is this guy on this thing? And you're saying it may be evidence of arrogance or at the least what a sort of overconfidence that everything's fine,
right? One of the things yeah. I've criticized is I've said that we needed 360 leadership on this. We just heard from the president last week. I think we should have heard from the president a couple of weeks ago. This is a 360 leadership opportunity or something that needs to get done here because you have national security concerns, you have economic concerns, and you have just the regular concern of keeping Americans safe from a threat that they haven't asked for. Now, it's one thing to send volunteers over there. It's one thing to send troops over there. But it's another thing to bring or allow vectors of the disease to come into the United States.
It's remarkable, too, that in the time that we live, whenever anyone is critical of someone in leadership, those who support that particular person, be it the president or some administrative official or the head of a bureau, run to the defense of that individual rather than looking at the merits of the argument being made.
Right.
Yeah?
Right.
So you've come under a little bit of that criticism.
I have.
Probably from all sides, right?
Right.
None of us like you.
Right. Well, that's right. But you know what? I think
or like what you're saying.
I think being a critical thinker and actually thinking logically through some of these problems is really important. And I think it adds credibility to the argument. If everybody's just, you know, armed up
along
on either the blue or the red side, I think then we that's where the paralysis comes in.
Absolutely.
I mean, maybe there should have been some Republicans that really criticized George Bush on the Iraq War.
Yeah.
I mean, had that happened, instead of just, you know, all lining up, maybe there would have been some things done differently.
Yeah.
I'm saying that it's okay to criticize people in the administration that you may generally support because it's appropriate. I mean, it's appropriate to lend your voice because then it doesn't become political. And one of the things I've been seeing on Twitter is that now this issue on Ebola has become somewhat political, and people are saying, oh, the Republicans are saying this and the Democrats are saying that. That's not true. I know that there are Republicans are for for travel restrictions, and I know that there are some very strong, pretty liberal Democrats.
Well,
that are
Alan
for
Grayson is one of those people.
Alan Grayson, who's not known for being a conservative in any way, shape, or form, is for travel restrictions on a very passionate and real level. I've talked to him for about 30 minutes on the phone, and he is absolutely for this, and it is not a political bit. And I'm not sticking up for Alan Grayson. That's not my point. My point is that there are good people of good, sound mind and logical thought that are thinking along these lines. Chuck Schumer's another one, not known to be a conservative, but he has to represents a state that is bringing in
potentially could
going to have a number of these folks from the epidemic nations, and it's going to be more of a stream, I think, if we don't get a handle on it. If you're looking at 5,000 to 10,000 cases by December in the epidemic nations, you're going to have, I think, more people trying to come here, which may be a concern.
Talking with State Representative Michelle Rehwinkel-Vasalinda. She is the representative for District 9. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
So, how's your car running?
Oh, it's great.
Well, that's good. And where'd you go?
SS Performance Group over on the west side of town. They are the real pros.
I thought SS Performance Group was for
engine modification.
Right, and
muscle cars. Yeah, right. And oil changes, brakes, and tune-ups. Everything for every car. So I figure go pro with the best for everything I need, right?
Yeah, so they can work on my SUV.
Yep. Go pro.
SS Performance Group at 431 Capital Circle Southwest. Go online or call 575-0259.
So we're back and we're talking with Representative Rehwinkel-Vasalinda. Are we not beset with so many issues of the day that for me, and I mean, I try to read and listen and pay attention, but my goodness, there's just so much coming at me, and there's so much information on so many fronts. For you, kind of helping us all plod through that, are those issues that are presented to you particularly overshadowed by, you think, the Ebola concerns? Are there other issues that you think are as critical to us that we may not have noticed because they don't get the big headlines?
Well, you know, I talk about a lot of things and I do a lot of things, and we're working on bills to file for this next coming session. So I've got a lot of irons in the fire, and I'm doing a lot of work that's on a level for the state of Florida, moving it forward on other kinds of things. And that's a very important message, not only for my district, but for the state of Florida and the United States. I mean, one of the things that we need to do with regard to Ebola and any other threat that is coming at us, and we're in a very interesting time in history right now, is to respect those people who do the work of the United States and who do the work of the state of Florida and who do the work of the city of Tallahassee, the county of Leon. Those are the people who will be the front line should anything untoward happen. Our military, all those kinds of service things, I think, and I'm very much into working with veterans issues and FSU on their Veterans Center, which is a tremendous thing. So there's a lot of things I work on, but I do think the Ebola issue is one place where I have the way my head works, it works in these ways where I see connections. And if at the end of July, I was asking the questions of our Florida Department of Health, are we ready? I mean, this is the end of July. Are we ready when Ebola comes to Florida, or if it comes to Florida? And asking those questions.
And the answer was.
We're ready for anything, you know. We're ready for anything, but you know, and they are. I think our Department of Health is really beginning to do a really good job on this. But you know, there's always room for improvement.
What makes you think so?
Because I've been talking to them, and I think that they have been communicating with me about the kinds of things that they're doing. The reach out to the county health departments, that the county health departments are reaching out to others. I think they're carrying their burden, their part of their duty.
And what are
they
doing? Then are they informing and equipping folks at that ground level with what they're going to need should they be presented with someone infected?
I believe they are working along in that. No one's perfect at this point in this country, and that's the point I guess I'm trying to bring out.
Yeah.
Is that number one, this is a good thing because we can be prepared, and number two, I think we don't necessarily need to be prepared unless the CDC keeps this message of allowing unrestricted travel in, to be honest with you. And there's some things that need to be done. So I'm working on, you know, both
two fronts.
Mm-hmm. Keeping an eye, though, it's sort of a complex picture, keeping an eye to make sure that I see the fact that could we be preparing for bioterrorism? Could that be the good thing that comes out of this? When life gives you lemons, make lemonade, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But also, do we necessarily have to be prepared at the because we don't need to let these people in at this point in time. I mean, that is something that is within our rights to do. That's what passports are for. And I think that you made a comment when we took a break, you know, you got to, you know, make sure you've got your act together before the
company comes to the house.
Exactly.
It's my policy.
And mine too. Yeah. And so I think we need to make sure that we're ready before we do anything.
Well, so that means then you're looking at what we have to do as Florida, particularly in North Florida, to be prepared for any possible outcome here should we find ourselves presented with someone who's infected. And prior to that, or along with that, look at the fact that we at this point are unrestricted in who we're allowing to come from these other nations where we know the population has been infected.
Because
we're not doing anything to restrict that.
Well, we are starting to now. There's going to be 5 airports that are going to be taking passport holders from the Ebola-affected nations. And I think so we are getting a little bit, but it's because of public pressure. And so my constituents are asking me these kinds of questions.
Yeah.
And that's it's an appropriate place for me to have a voice in this.
So when you hear a guy like Jim Stevenson that we had with us in the first hour, and he's been with the state for 38 years. And by the way, folks, the next time you want to be critical of your average state worker, this is a guy who would have done this for you even if he didn't get paid. He's that passionate about it. But his campaign now has to do with water, and you mentioned water.
Absolutely.
And the fact that our aquifer is being threatened by nitrates and by overuse. We're just using too much water.
Water is a fundamental. I mean, it goes without saying. It's fundamental to our bodies. It's fundamental to what we do.
Yeah.
It's fundamental to how Florida's economy works.
Yeah.
We have got to pay attention to what we're doing with water and not take for granted that Florida has plenty of it. It seems like a wet state, so to speak. You know, it's not the dry desert, certainly. But we have to take care of the water we have. We have a very, very particular aquifer situation in Florida. It's unlike any other state in the union. We have very sensitive environmental concerns here. And we've got to be aware of that and appreciate that and appreciate what we have. One of the things I've been saying is that hubris is our enemy. Arrogance is our enemy. Overconfidence is our enemy. We have to make sure with the water issue as well as some of the other issues we've talked about today that we are appropriately confident, have quiet resolve, but overconfidence, hubris, and arrogance can be an enemy of success. And I think we need to make sure that we are not in that spot of feeling that way, that we're appropriately humble, working on these issues, making sure that we know where we are, how we can improve, and really doing our best for the people of the state of Florida. And I intend to continue to do that. I've done it for 6 years. I've been honored to do it. It's been a privilege. And I look forward to the next 2 years doing that and helping in any way I can.
Our guest today, Representative Michelle Rehwinkle Vasalinda. Such a pleasure, as always, having you with us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being here.
And I'm pleased to say to all of you that Representative Vasalinda has agreed to come on board, so to speak, as one of our regular contributors. And as such, we are delighted to identify with her and bring you her thoughts from time to time. So thank you for that. And we are looking forward to more of what this fine representative is doing for the state of Florida, for us, and how she can better keep us informed by serving as one of our contributors here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for allowing me to be here. I appreciate it.
Folks, that's what we have for you today. It's what we love to do, bringing you all of the nitty-gritty. We get down to where we live, work, and play. And we call it Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny because that's kind of what we like to do. So that's why I invite you to come back again here next Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, 93.3 FM. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me. Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.